The word church is a word that is probably used and misused and abused. It wasn't first used in the first century. When Jesus used the word church, it wasn't the first time that that word had been used. The word church in the Greek language, I am told, is ecclesia. It's a called out group, a called out body. The Greeks used it to represent their assembly of individuals who would come together in a particular community in interest of that community to meet and to make decisions in kind of a somewhat of a democratic form of government. So it was an ecclesia, the church, but Jesus gave it new meaning. Think of that, the songs that we've sung this morning. We have victory in Jesus. Jesus gave lots of things new meanings. And that's why 2,000 years or so down the road, from the time Jesus lived upon this earth, he still has a great influence upon the lives of millions and millions of people on this earth. Many of whom would not probably acknowledge that influence. But the word church has been misused over the years, has been misunderstood. A number of years ago, I read from a book by Vatsal Barrett Baxter. And in that book, he talked about the Japanese at a particular time in their social growth, you might say, or civilization. They had a movement called the No Church Movement. Many of them were Buddhist. Many of the Japanese at that time were Shintoist. I remember those names. I don't remember exactly all that they believed or much of what they believed. But a lot of these people that had previously believed in Buddha and Shintoism turned to Christ. They heard of Christ, they read of Christ, and they saw a very interesting and unusual individual who had come upon the scene. And so the stories of Jesus, the life of Jesus, had tremendous appeal. But for some reason, the church, the body of people that were calling themselves Christians in the church, did not have that same appeal at that time. So while they had a great interest in Christ, which they should have, impressed by his teachings, impressed by his life and his influence, they were not nearly so impressed with those who professed to be believers of Christ as part of, quote, the church. And I think if we look around us today, we have had existing in this country for a number of years a great many Christians, and we have seen a great bit of influence from Christ from the beginning of this country, with our founding fathers, on down to some extent to the present time. But it seems like that influence is lessening. It seems like that influence is lessening. The church, or the institution of the church, the body of Christ, doesn't seem to have the same appeal in the States as it used to have. Many people still call themselves Christians, but they don't really have an understanding. There's a lot of confusion when it has to do with the Lord's church. And why is this happening? Why has it happened? Well, I think over the years, so many different people have called themselves Christians and still do. Some call themselves Christians and never practice Christianity. Some call themselves Christians and never attend a particular meeting of the Christian body, the church, the body of Christ. And I think in the last few years, there's been even more of that. The church has been tarnished to a certain extent, but what many see as the church. And if we look in the Yellow Pages. Of whatever yellow book comes out. Now, there's so many different yellow books. See, some people ought to put out a green book or something, because yellow has kind of confused me. Verizon's got a yellow book, and TDS got a yellow book, and I don't know, A&T and South Central, so they're together now, whatever. Together again. Also, I think over the years, just reviewing history and then currently, that there's a lot of antagonism among religious groups. Some don't call themselves a quote, church. But religious groups are just antagonistic toward one another. It's not been but the last few years that we haven't had all this controversy and fighting going over in Ireland. I remember a number of years back when lots of folks were wanting to get out of Ireland and come to the States or get into the England and some of the other areas over there in Great Britain. Because of the fighting between the Catholics and Protestants. And here we're, quote, people were calling themselves Christians. So if I'm on the outside looking in, I'm not sure I should be calling myself a Christian or calling myself a member of the body of Christ or the church. Because that just doesn't look right to me on the outside looking in, if I were there. There have been wars in the Middle East for a number of years. I don't know whether that area is ever going to be capable of not having war against one another. They've just got so many reasons or so many excuses for going to battle, ideologies and all those different words that I can't pronounce are causing confusion. Even among the Muslim community, who now do many atrocities in the name of their religion, though those who are hardline Muslim religiously don't claim connection to that. But also, I think as people look at individuals that profess to be Christians, there's a gap in what they're hearing that Jesus taught and what they're seeing that Jesus' people are doing. You know, over the years, the Catholics have been, at least back to, 20 years ago or so, have been pretty strong on the beliefs that they had. Now, I didn't go along with all the beliefs that they had, but at least most of the time I knew how a Catholic stood on certain things. You don't know that anymore, do you? Because church religion has been kind of shoved aside. And is it confusing you? Hopefully it's not. And we're going to try to say some things this morning about the church. The glorious nature of the body of Christ, the church, as God intended to be, that ought to help us be more positive and have more hope in this confusing world that we live in. This confusing country, state, and city many times, communities. I remember vividly, and I'm sure that you do too, watching television back in September. I believe it was 2001, September 11th. And I saw those buildings burning. Plane had already hit one of those buildings in New York, its towers. As we watched, one of the other buildings started to smoking. And then I think over the weekend I saw a rerun of some of the things that happened at that time, or some of the things that happened on the sideline with the firemen and the policemen approaching the building. They were going to go into that building, and you saw them looking up, realizing that there was death up there in those upper floors. What they didn't realize totally, what we didn't realize totally as we watched, is that whole thing was going to, those two buildings were going to crumble. Man had built almost a Tower of Babel. Look what we achieved. The engineering feats that existed in the building of those two buildings so high. Seems like every country wants to build the tallest building. Not maybe reaching to God, but maybe indicating how high man thinks of himself now. And yet on that day, those two tall buildings there was nothing could stop them from totally crumbling. And we were very fortunate that more lives were not lost on that day. But you know, when we look to the church, we see that religious people talk about a compassionate, loving, forgiving God. And I think there were more believers on the 12th of September than there were that woke up on the 11th of September. But after a while, that kind of cooled down, just like the embers and whatever was going on in the fires around that site. That cooled down. There's not near as many people darkening the doors of the assemblies today as there were for a few Sundays after that particular date. What I'd like to do this morning is to look briefly at some things and try to see more clearly what God intended the church to be. What God intended us as Christians to be today. You know, today it seems like people want to be, and Paul wanted to be, all things for all people, but it's being taken too far. There's a whole lot of compromise going on. There's a whole lot about let's build the tallest building, let's build the widest building. And sometimes it's basically to please man and not God. We want to see that the church is great. The church is important. The church is glorious because of its relationship to God, because of its relationship to Christ and the Holy Spirit, because of its relationship to the Godhead. Not because of its relationship to something that man has made. Because of the confusion, because of the disparity in what Christ taught and what many religious people believe and teach today, many that are outside of Christ don't look toward Christ anymore. Why is the church important today? Does it still have an importance? Has it outlived its importance? In the day of the technological advances, does the assembly have importance anymore? Well, I think the church is a glorious church, number one, because of where it came from, its origin. You see, I've taken studies where it was on religious bodies, various religious groups, and this particular study shows a church has been in existence in the first century, and then a number of years ago, there's an Anglican church goes off, and there's a Baptist, there's a Methodist, there's a Presbyterian, and particular dates they had their beginning. I mentioned Anglican church, but I saw an Anglican Orthodox church advertised in a paper yesterday. It said it dated itself back to A.D. 33. Internet wasn't working yesterday, the computer wasn't, and I couldn't look into anything. But I'd like to look into that particular church and see what they teach. There is an Orthodox church, Greek Orthodox, but I didn't know Anglican, that seeks its best to follow the Bible. It refers to itself as a Catholic church, small c, Catholic meaning universal. And the churches of Christ are universal, aren't we? We date ourselves back to the very beginning, not that maybe there was an individual living all that time, but that Christ set up the church in the first century. Let's look at the origin. The church began in the mind of God, not man. And that's why we don't attach a man's name to the word church. Church itself, remember the Bible, I forget now the scripture, but it quotes and says the assembly, the church in the wilderness. Well, you mean they had a church back there, you know, building with a steeple on it and where they... No, church is not the building. We know that, don't we? A lot of times when we say we're going to church, what are we saying? We're going to the church building. But we're going to where the church meets. We're going to where the body of Christ meets. We're going to meet with those who by the power of blood have victory. Victory in Jesus. To the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul would write in Ephesians 3, 8 through 11, "Unto me who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things but Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." The church is nothing aside from its relationship to God and its relationship to Jesus Christ. And yet there are many today who are trying to break off that relationship. Hide what kind of religious group you are. It's the community called out group. No, it's Christ called out group. The one that Jesus died on the cross for. The one that He purchased with His own blood. The one to whom He said to Peter, "Upon this rock, upon this confession, Peter, that you just made, that I am the Son of God, I'll build my church. I'll build my group of people, my assembly, my called out group." And it was to that church that Acts 2:47 says on that first day of Pentecost, "And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved." He didn't add daily to that Greek assembly meeting over there in Athens. It was the church. It was the called out body. He had given it the same name, church, and designated, but it was His body. Ephesians 1, Colossians 1. His body, the church. Paul preached, was chosen to preach Christ. He was chosen to preach Christ to the Gentiles. He was chosen to preach them to them about Christ and to preach to them about the church. And to make all men see, as he said in the book of Ephesians 3, that God wanted His wisdom known to man by the church, by that called out group of people who would follow in Christ's footsteps. You know, a problem developed with man back in early chapters of the book of Genesis. I don't know all the things of how man was to live, but the way they lived was totally changed when they did what they did in Genesis chapter 3 in disobeying God and being deceived by Satan. They were driven out of that garden of paradise. But God right away began building on His plan to send His Son to set up Christ's church. And because of sin, we had the promise of Christ beginning, though somewhat veiled, in Genesis chapter 3:15. "Someone is coming to take care of the problem," God said. Church is glorious because of its origin. But also, as we think about the various religious groups and we think to try to influence folks as to what the church of the Bible is, the church that we believe is the church of Christ, Christ's body, Christ's church, is that the church is glorious because of its foundation. Because of its foundation. Because of whom it's built upon. A lot of times we hear about these mudslides out there in California. A long time back, a number of years ago, I'm pretty sure they're not taking advantage of this particular point at this time, but there was a guy out there or a couple that purchased a house on one of those hills. But when you talk about a lot of rain in an area where there's nothing but a lot of dirt under your house and not too much as it approaches the going off of that hill, a lot of those houses did slide off of the hill. And this one individual went back against his agent based on the fact that he said his agent should have known that based on how the foundation upon which his house was built that would happen. I'm sure now it's been broadcasted enough that folks know that you shouldn't build on the side of those hills. So it makes a difference about the foundation of that house. It makes a difference about the foundation of any building that we would build today, and we want it to be secure, don't we? We want it to have a good foundation. In fact, if you have an inspector to come in and look at your house before you're selling it, or as you're selling it, it's going to be a problem if that foundation has structural damage or has structural problems. And so with the religious world, so with the spiritual world, whenever we build, we need to be careful about foundation. Whether a house for the here and now or a spiritual life that will be go beyond the here and now for other foundation, Paul said to the church at Corinth. Individuals who are building their lives and making their foundation be individuals, he said this. He said, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So you can go out here and you build and you can teach and you can preach, but you're preaching the wrong thing. If you're teaching the wrong thing, if you're building lives upon the wrong basis, you're going to have difficulty. Now we can see that as far as houses are concerned. But folks, we need to see it, and we need to seek to influence others to see it in their spiritual lives. It's almost like, okay, the Titans are going to play again now. We'll start meeting on Friday night or Saturday night. And that'll take care of whatever first day of the week obligation or responsibility that we had. No, what it's saying is, instead of putting God first, instead of putting the children of God first and the encouragement that I can give them, I'm going to put football first. That's exactly what it would be telling me if I was sitting up there and looking down and I had given my folks my will and they were not paying attention to it. Folks think they're smart. Let's have a built-in church. We can reach more people. Let's have the Lord's Supper on Friday night or Saturday night. We can have more people in attendance. Well, why don't we preach like Joel Osteen and we'll have 50,000? 50,000 people. But what do those people believe? Oh, they believe in happiness. I had a brochure come in the mail this last week. And if I were just looking for a place to go to feel comfortable, to feel good, to be filled with joy, I would not be here today. Now, we need to be filled with joy, yes. But we need to read the Bible and base our joy on something that has a foundation. Let's have a basis for the way we feel. Not because somebody has sent us a card in the mail and in every other breath has used the word joy. Jesus Christ was not mentioned. The name of the religious group was not mentioned. You just come and be with us and we'll be joyful. You can join our joyful first graders, our joyful mid-teens, our joyful adult class, our joyful group that comes together here, our joyful Wednesday night class, everything was joyful. And that's great that it can be joyful. But we need to preach Christ. We need to tell about Christ's church and what He planned for His people to encourage and strengthen one another. And Paul would say, after all, who are we trying to please? Are we pleasing God? Or are we to please men? If we're to please men, Paul says, we can teach any other gospel. We can even pervert the gospel because that's what the people of the Galatian churches were doing. Already in the first century. So it's not anything somebody has to have an IQ to come up with what's seeing what's going on now, or what could be going on, or what could happen. We need to stand upon that which is in God's Word, and we learn of God's church in His Word. We learn that Jesus Christ is the foundation of His church. Foundation of the church is not based upon a human being, but upon the power of Jesus Christ, upon the power of the divine Son of God. In Matthew 7, verse 24 and following, Jesus, after saying, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, but everyone that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." After that, he gave that illustration of building a house upon rock, which was going to stand. That's a physical building. It's going to stand. Then he talked about the shifting sands, and they had a sandy area in their country down, and sometimes it was down near the creeks, and many times it would be down near the creeks. And when the rain came down later, one of those houses stood. The other house failed. The difference was in the foundation. The difference today in many of the churches or religious group is the foundation upon which it's built. The church is important because it's built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And it's according to God's Word that we get that information. Number three, why is the church important? The church is important because of its promised destiny. We sometimes sing the song, "Here we are but strange pilgrims." Pilgrim is one who's on a journey. On a journey. But unlike many who are traveling the road of life, the Christian is on a road that he has the road map to. We don't need, this is our, what do they call them, GSP devices? Tells us where we're headed, where if we take a right, where we'll be. We take a left, where we'll be. If we're on a narrow road, where we'll be. If we're on the Broadway, where we'll be. Where are we going? We can read about the Apostle Paul and see the development of him as a Christian. After being on the road to Damascus, as he gets older and older, it seems he gets closer and closer to heaven. And he's got his eyes on the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3. And as he writes Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, he tells him that he is ready to be offered. He knew he was near his death. And he says, "I am ready. I am ready. The time of my departure is at hand. I know it. I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith." And brethren, we need to have that kind of growth in our lives, and we can if we read and study God's Word and follow it like it's a roadmap. The one who created us, the one who, quote, built us, gave us instructions to go along with this body, this spirit that we have. Remember the words of Jesus in John 14. He said, you know, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be." The church is important, isn't it? Because of its destiny. But that's the only place that we have. God's Word is the only place that tells us that we're going to be okay after this life is over. There's something beyond this life. That gives us hope, doesn't it? We read about that in God's Word. Our faith increases. Our faith, our hope increases. Our love for one another increases as we read in God's Word about God dealing with man, about Christ and His example, about the example of other Christians. Jesus said, "I'll come again." Question is, are we like the Apostle Paul? Are we ready? Have we fought the good fight? Are we keeping the faith, fighting faith, fighting the good fight of faith? Although many are confused about the church and what the church is, they need not be. God's Word reveals to us what the church is. To many, probably church is just an assembly. The Bible tells us that it's more than that. It's a glorious church. It's important. It's important because of its origin. It was eternally purposed in the mind of Christ. Not something that down through the years someone said, you know, I think I'll start a church. And they're doing that all over Nashville these days. Somebody, I think, was looking all over the state to see where they could start a church. They didn't like Knoxville, so they moved to Nashville, went out in Bellevue, started a church. Started a group, a building fund, and all that goes with it. I don't know what they believe. Church is glorious and important because of its foundation. Foundation founded upon the name of Jesus. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. Let's have the church, the group of people, let's be in that church and with that church that is the called out of Christ and has Christ as its foundation. And the church is important because of its destiny. Because of where we're going, if we're believers in Jesus Christ, if we're obedient believers in Jesus Christ, for by the grace of God are we saved through faith. And that faith being an obedient faith, Romans 1 and Romans 16. When we look at the book of Revelation, in chapter 2, verse 10 says to one of the churches there for them to be faithful unto death. And in a recent study found, and I think I mentioned in class, that this was a unto death faithfulness. And many of those churches that were written about, those seven churches of Asia, had not remained faithful. They were told to look at their lives and to pick up on those things that were missing and to turn around and to be faithful unto death. This morning, if you're here and not a Christian, why not come to Christ today? Why not come to Christ confessing Jesus as the Son of God, just like Peter did in that great confession back in Matthew 16? Why not repent of your sins? Jesus says, except you repent, you shall perish. Then to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. We come in contact with the death of Christ, with the blood of Christ, as we are baptized into His death. Romans 6. Rise from baptism and then walk a new creature in Christ and added to His church daily by the Lord. If you're not a Christian, or if you are a Christian and desire prayers on your behalf, whatever you need, would you come this morning? We stand as we sing.